So hands up if there is someone in your life who depends on you. And hands up if you have to regularly depend on someone to do something for you. Okay, good. In today's scripture, we learn about the disciples being sent by Jesus into towns and having to depend on the hospitality of others for their food and their shelter. Jesus calls them laborers, and their labor is to bring God's peace to people's homes and proclaim the nearness of the kingdom of God. In doing this work, the disciples must be dependent on each other, on God, on the stranger. Without that dependence, the mission would not work. Dependence can also mean reliance or trust. So without being able to rely on the kindness of strangers, or without being able to trust their fellow disciple, their mission would fail. And it can be hard for us today to think about voluntarily being dependent. We live in a time when the notion of the village or the community is seen as a weakness. In order to be successful or accomplished or strong, we need to be self-reliant. We need to go it alone. We need to somehow prove we don't need anyone else to get where we are. To have mastered being a human in this time is to be independent, to be able to do everything for ourselves and provide for ourselves. We are trained to believe that absolute independence is the goal. Self-reliance and trust in oneself first. If Jesus gathered us at the corner of Blundell and Number One and said, "Okay, folks, leave your knapsacks here, give me your wallets, I'll take your glasses, oh, and that extra pullover you've got in case it gets cold later, hand it all over. I want you to go out in twos with only God's peace to offer." So even if we are capable of going it alone, it is now not possible. We will need to depend on our partner to get where we're going, figure out when sundown is, decide how many streets we're going to cover, and we'll need to depend on strangers to welcome us in for food and a place to rest. We will be exposed, in a way, to the best and worst that humans have to offer. We'll experience welcome and hospitality, and we'll experience hostility and doors slamming in our faces. So it's a good thing we've got God's peace with us to offer, because we're going to need something to buoy our spirits up and to share. That notion of Jesus sending the disciples out reminds me of a woman I knew in my home church. She and her neighbor would canvass the neighborhood during political campaigns, and they'd go together. They'd rely on each other, boost each other up when one got dismayed, comfort each other when someone slammed a door in their faces, help find their way together when they got lost. And what was extra special about this pair was that one was canvassing for the Liberal Party and one was canvassing for the NDP. They depended on each other for their mission. They relied on each other and trusted each other. Sometimes they were blessed with grace, and sometimes they were met with hostility, but they were in it together. Our new creed begins with, "We are not alone. We live in God's world." We are not alone, nor do we have to be alone. It is not a weakness to receive from each other, to rely on another person, and trust that they will be there. This is God's world. And this is today's passage. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but when I read the Gospels, I often have an arm's length view of them. These were people living in a different time, a long time ago, and surely I'm not to take it literally. But I wonder, if we take a closer look, might we find some significant similarities between the disciples in this passage and us today? And if we do find those similarities, then doesn't that mean that Jesus is perhaps speaking directly to us, asking us to go out in pairs in every town, to carry no purse, bag, or sandals, aka to de-equip ourselves of self-sufficiency? That's not really our style, is it? How many of you double check and triple check that you've got your phone, your wallet, and your keys before you leave the house? So Jesus is asking the disciples to rely on the hospitalities of others at a time when he is preaching and teaching a lot of counterintuitive lessons that are shaking up the status quo and making some people annoyed. Jesus talked of setting the captives free, those who were confined or bound by something, and to proclaim them as beloved children of God as well. Today's comparison might be the landlord-tenant renoviction challenge, or the increasing complexity of Canada Day, or the opioid crisis. People who are or have been bound by addiction, an oppressive history, a system that may favor the ones in power. Jesus asked people to believe in God as their king when Caesar was putting himself in the place of God and wanting people to worship him. Today we might think of our obsession with individuation or the God within or consumer spirituality. Jesus offered healing touch as a balm to the wounded bodies and perhaps souls of the ill and untouchable. Today we might think of the beginning of the AIDS crisis when people were scared to touch others. Or we might think of the beginning of the COVID pandemic when no one was in the same room together. Jesus told his disciples to eat whatever was placed in front of them, ignoring the strict food laws of the time for many faithful people. Now, as a vegetarian, this is a kicker for me, because today we might think of food allergies or lactose intolerance or being a pescatarian, vegetarian, or vegan, and being asked to eat whatever was put in front of us. There are a fair number of connections we can make between the time Jesus instructed his disciples to go on their way and our time today. So if we think how odd and dangerous and not fun it would be to be sent by Jesus down number one to knock on people's doors and offer God's peace to their home, then we know it probably felt odd and dangerous and no fun for the disciples either. Especially when Jesus said to them, "I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves." And yet the disciples still went. And look what happens. They return with joy. They regale Jesus with all that had happened. Somehow it worked. Working together to share God's love with others actually got them in the door. And some people listened. Where two or three are gathered, indeed, God is there. So what does this mean for us? We're not about to march out of church today and canvass the streets. We don't like it when someone knocks unexpectedly on our door, but we've got to do something. We are being asked to share God's peace, and we are being asked to do it together. And Luke is writing this story with a sense of urgency. The kingdom of God is near. Now is the time to share just how incredible this God is that we believe in. And so I'm curious, and know that I'm saying this to myself as I say it out loud. I'm curious, how many of you know if there are other Christians at your place of work, on the street where you live, in your apartment, condo, or retirement home, at your school, at your children's daycare? We gather here on Sunday mornings to worship together, to build community, to be Christians together. But I wonder how many other people are in their own little pockets on a Sunday morning, not knowing that there's a bigger community outside of church that are doing the same thing. Imagine if there were a group of Christians that met to have lunch together at your place of work, or who walked together down their street praying for their neighbors. Not to proselytize, but to be together, to trust each other, to rely on each other, to grow the peace of God, to depend on each other. What would that look like to a stranger? It might actually look safe and inviting. Where are other places in our lives where we could be in pairs or small group and talk about the peace of God, grow to depend on the fact that this peace will be with us when we meet? What if we hosted a meal at our house and no one was allowed to bring anything? No hostess gift, no bottle of wine, no loaf of bread, no dessert. Those coming for the meal had to be 100% dependent on the host. I'm curious to know what that might generate in terms of discussion or changed behavior or the presence of God amongst the people. When we don't hold all the control, we open ourselves up to a deeper connection. And maybe it's through this vulnerability that we start to notice God's love more often. And then we start to rely on God's love. And then we start to witness to God's love. And then eventually we can't live without each other, and we can't help but proclaim from the mountaintops that the Lord of love is here for all. We have only to turn to today's psalm to see the gifts that God's love and peace can bring. The psalmist says to God, "You have drawn me up, healed me, restored me to life, turned my mourning into dancing, and clothed me with joy." Don't we want more of that? And isn't Jesus kind of smart here? He's not telling the disciples to stay at their house or in their church and wait for folks to come. He's telling them to go to other people's homes. And when we're a guest in someone else's home, it's not us who holds the power, it's the host. And as humans, when we feel we have some power, some control, then we can get a bit more comfortable. We can let our guard down a little. So maybe the host starts to ask some questions, get curious, and want to learn more about who this Jesus person is. The disciples showing up empty-handed means they must rely, depend on their faith in this most amazing and loving God in order to hold their own in the conversation in the stranger's home. Smart thinking, Jesus. Next week, the Luke passage is the story of the Good Samaritan, and the question is raised, who is my neighbor? Spoil alert, everyone is our neighbor, because everyone is a beloved child of God, whether they know it or not or believe it or not. Jesus is calling us this week to find our neighbors. We are not to keep God's incredible peace to ourselves in these pews on this day only. We are to scope out our work, our street, our yoga class, and find others to offer God's peace to. And if they accept it, we start a conversation. And if they don't, we shake the dust from our shoes and keep going. But we keep going. We get out of our own way. We depend on God's ever-filling presence in our lives to give us the strength to do this work. And we find a buddy to do it with. So perhaps this week we can dare ourselves with one or two challenges. The first, every day I will wake up and think of one person I want to offer the peace of Christ to. And I will be ready to talk about what that means to me if they ask. Number two, I will reflect on one way I can let go of some autonomy and become dependent on someone else. Maybe it's taking the bus. Maybe it's asking for help with the garden. Maybe when we run out of something in the pantry, we knock on our neighbor's door instead of going to Safeway. Maybe through these challenges this week, we begin to learn just how present God is, just how deep God's love goes, and just how much a part of God's kingdom we really are. If we actually start to take that in, to feel it, we probably won't be able to contain ourselves. We'll be calling up a buddy and hitting the streets to share the good news. As scary as that is, may it be so. Amen.